not after what happened in Anaheim. The fact you're playing first game, you got to find a way to finish that one out. And that's a
They had the two third period power plays against Anaheim as well when they were down.
And that's a exactly. But and there's where's the confidence? I'm watching this group right now. I don't see confidence, and that's what worries me. There's the rub. It's okay. So they're in the middle of a process. Okay, they've got a lot of good young pieces. But you can't let this thing spiral completely out of control. You're going to end up undoing a lot of the things you've done over the last couple of years.
Well, and that's why I think that some people believe that starting to go in that selling direction is the way to go. Because if you move certain parts out, all of a sudden you've got hungry faces in here once again, right? You've got players from the American League who say, okay, I'm fighting for my job. So maybe that is something positive that happens at some point down the road. I don't think they're there yet where it's like, for sure, 100% we're selling off all of our pending unrestricted free agents. But if it gets to that point, which it's very close to being, I think, where it's like, okay, you know what? You're probably already into next year territory because you're probably not making the playoffs this year. They're not there yet. They're there in a couple of weeks if this thing doesn't start to get turned around. Well, maybe having some of those younger, fresher, hungrier bodies here can help doing exactly what you're saying and not let this thing spiral out of control.
We'll take a quick break. Want to come back and talk a little bit about this week and what's coming up for the Calgary Flames, because I think there is some great stories and some interesting stories and some really great opposition that they're going to see here in the next couple of days. As well, later on in the hour, Arash Badani from Sportsnet will join us. We'll put a bow on the 2015 CFL season with our CFL insider at Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. Trending right now in Calgary.
Tomorrow, the Flames kick off a five-game homestand. They welcome the Western Conference leading Dallas Stars at 7 o'clock. Kari Rama will make the start in net, his 13th start in 14 games. Montreal Canadiens goaltender Carey Price will be out at least 6 weeks with a lower body injury. The Habs confirmed today. Monday Night Football wraps up week 12 of the NFL season. 3-7 Baltimore takes on 2-8 Cleveland. 6:30 kickoff. We'll have it for you here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
For Village Honda, the blockbuster 2015 clearance is on. Save up to $3,000 on remaining 2015 Hondas with rates as low as 0.99%. See villagehonda.com.
Broadcasting from the heart of downtown Calgary, 24/7 Sports. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Kerr Steinberg, The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
When you lose, there's always a doubt. There's always a doubt. Like it's human nature. It has nothing to do in only with sport. It's in business. It's in school. It's everywhere. That's, you know, like that's where you test your character. You know, you test your leadership, your personal leadership. You know, you have to find ways to get better and, you know, like to make things happen.
Bob Hartley earlier today. Mark Giordano, after the San Jose game, made the comment that maybe they got to start getting mad at each other. They got to be mad in the room. You were in on Mark Giordano today. I agree with that. I don't know if that necessarily is the answer to everything. Again, just an observation, and I'm curious to watch them up close and at home this and from above this week just to see. But I just didn't, especially that San Jose game. That San Jose game seemed to be one of those games where just they quietly, they got a couple of late goals. But you heard Bob Hartley today just dismiss those out of hand.
Yeah.
Just quietly went into the night, didn't they?
Those first 40 minutes in San Jose, I know that, you know, some people look at it and say, oh, the third period they fought and they battled. And I guess, I mean, you're down by four at that point. I mean, anything that happens in a 4-0 game after that, I mean, was there a little pride shown, I guess? And maybe there's your positive, but otherwise I don't buy much into that at all. And yeah, I mean, right now we're talking about a team coming off a road trip where they get one of a possible 6 points and – I don't really – is there anything redeeming in those three games on the road? Next to nothing. Sam Bennett, I guess, continues his strong rookie season. Marcus Granlund and Michael Ferland both scored their first goals of the season on Saturday. But truly, in terms of actual redeeming qualities, I don't know if there were any. They were worked by Anaheim. They were worked by San Jose. They couldn't figure out how to beat Arizona in a winnable hockey game that was there for the taking. Their special teams continue to let them down. Their goaltending let them down on Saturday. I mean, just all things considered, very little positive to say about what we saw from the Flames. And that is so frustrating because of what happened the last time we saw them play here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And I know that when I say, geez, the other team didn't look very good, I get criticized by some people. But fact is, I'm a whole lot more willing to say that, you know, maybe that was Chicago on an off night on Friday, that Friday night, than maybe it was the Flames play. And because what I just saw on those three road games doesn't lead me to believe that that was all Calgary against the Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, and, you know, I mentioned it's their second longest homestand of the season. It's a five-game homestand, but it's Dallas, Boston, San Jose, Buffalo, and the Rangers. Boy, there's some good teams mixed in there, and you know Buffalo is going to be looking at their chops, you know, based on your record, that's a winnable game for them. And it's again with that crazy gapping, like 2 days between games, 3 days between games. It gets a little more normal every other day next week, but it's just, that's not a good setup for this team. I talked to Ladislav Schmid about it, and you talk about a frustrated hockey player. Holy cow. That is one pissed off player.
What an odd stretch for him, too. One game in Stockton and then back and, like, still scratching my head.
I don't have,
conditioning stint.
Don't have an answer on that one.
Nope.
We were talking about the schedule, and he said the same thing. It's, you know, you're just itching to get back out there. The only thing you can do to redeem yourself is go out and play again, and now you have to sit and wait, and you got these extra days. Dallas is – then you're not getting Dallas with any break. Dallas is already here. They've been here all day, practiced the crowd today. So they've been in an extra day early. You're not getting them on back-to-backs or anything like that.
Yep.
You're getting the best team in the West full complement tomorrow. So this is, you know, again, where are they at? I think a lot of people have already given up on the season. I get that. To me, it's about how do you keep this from becoming an unmitigated disaster?
Yeah, and how do you keep this from, you know, we talked last segment about, okay, it's a bigger process. It's part of a process.
Yeah.
How do you make it so that this doesn't derail your process? That is the one danger now, is that if this season continues to be so sour and things get so bad that maybe it does wreck the direction that you're going in, that would be the thing that you have to do everything to avoid at this point. And that's the reason why you might have to trade certain players, because if it's going to help you get hungrier bodies in there, it might be the thing that you've got to do right now.
That was a tough, you know, in one of the notes I wrote down, it's funny, the Calgary Hitmen went out and got another goalie today, so there's something in the building, because goaltending for this, the only goaltending that really hasn't come into question has been the Roughnecks, because their camp's just open,
yep.
and the Stamps season
Give
ended.
Give it time.
So, yeah,
Give
exactly.
It time.
Are you inclined at all to give Jonas Hiller the net back anytime soon?
No. I mean,
like, you really, a lot of this is going to fall right on the back of Kari Rammel.
Unless you're at a point where you have a natural spot to put him in. And is there one in the month of December? Look at that schedule. Where's a natural point to put in Jonas
Hiller? The only thing close would be the 19th, 20th, when you play a couple of afternoon games in St. Louis and then in Detroit the next day.
That's the only time. You're right. The 20th against the Red Wings would be the only time. Or maybe you put him in against St. Louis because it's an afternoon. I don't know. But one of those two games is the only natural spot to put Hiller in, unless Ramos starts to falter so bad that you don't have a choice. So, but just looking at it and looking at the way the goaltenders have played this year, this looks like the month of December is Kari Rammel's to own right here.
Is he capable of it? Is this a guy that he's been given a lot of rope? He's now, what is he, Pat? Is he in those 12? He was 6-5-1.
So he's 6-5-1, yeah, because of the loss in Arizona, yes.
Oh, okay.
So 6-5-1. He hasn't been incredible.
No.
Like, I still think that the answer for this team lies. I don't think one of these three guys is the long-term answer. I don't think Ordeo's it. I don't think Ramos it. I don't think Hiller's it. I think that there is a chance that one of those three guys is back next year. But anything more than that, I would not be putting money down on. I think this team still needs to look externally for a goaltender that is going to be with them for more than just the rest of this season.
Is that, you know, there's a couple of names out there, and I know that I don't think the guys this morning were talking to Elliott about, you know, particularly Bernier coming here, but, you know, Jonathan Bernier looks like he's on the outside in Toronto. Is that the kind of direction you want to go? If you're the Flames, do you want to just continue to tread water until Gillies or Ortio or, you know, McDonald or somebody is ready to go in the next couple of years? I don't think you can do that. I'm not sure Cam Ward is necessarily because of the budget considerations for that. I'm not sure that's the path you want to go.
Still, Michael Hutchinson is the guy that I'm like, man, if you can figure out a way.
Okay, what about Michael Hutchinson right now in Winnipeg?
And it's nothing. Nothing about how he's played this year says, oh, he's going to be the number one guy. I'm not worried about solving it for this year.
Okay.
I'm looking at a 25-year-old who has played good minutes before in this league, and I say, hey, you know what? Maybe there's a guy that can – I don't even look at him as the number one of the future. I still look at John Gillies as the guy that you're waiting for right now. But if Gillies is still 2 years away, you need to have somebody that can get the job done for a couple of years. And I think Michael Hutchinson at the age of 25 is a guy that, yeah, you know what? He might be able to get the job done for a couple of years. And when Gillies ready, maybe he can be the backup goaltender. That's the type of guy that I'm looking at.
Ryan Pinder asked a question this morning to Elliott, and I'll ask you, what about Ben Bishop? And I don't think Ryan was asking from a Calgary perspective. They were just talking about the ongoing saga, which is the Tampa Bay Lightning and Steve Stamkos, and all of the work that that Stevie Yzerman has to do in terms of Tyler Johnson and Victor Hedman and all of these guys. You know, considering this kind of the strength that Tampa perceives it has in the minors with its young European goaltenders, you know, and Elliott said, yeah, definitely Ben Bishop is going to get moved. There's a goalie who's an established number one, younger. He's not that young anymore. Ben Bishop's been around.
I think he's almost 30 now.
Is he?
Yeah. I believe he's 29.
Ben Bishop.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's the second time in 2 weeks I've been floored by that. Okay, so.
Yeah, 29.
He's 29.
Yeah.
Okay, well. I was going to say, your comparison of, you know, Mike Hutchinson, which is a guy that's 25, it's never really been a bona fide number one, but is there. Is that the route you go, or do you go chase a Ben Bishop? Ben Bishop's in his prime. You know, the hope would be that you would get a Michael Hutchinson who's coming into his prime, right? We know goaltenders usually take a little while.
And that's why I look at him as maybe more of a realistic option as opposed to Ben Bishop or Cam
Ward.
So
Ben Bishop isn't realistic for you.
Well, again, but what does that do to Gillies? Like, you bring in a 29-year-old who is going, like, does that mean that you're no longer waiting on Gillies? And I mean, you can never have too much goaltending depth.
Let me ask you this, Pat. I like John Gillies. I do. Really concerned about the injury. Really concerned that he might have a really short pro season, first pro season, because we're waiting on the announcement whether or not he's going to go under the knife is what we believe the announcement will be. What is realistic for John Gillies? To me, the classic recent example of a bona fide stud that went through the American Hockey League process and then eventually became the number one in many ways is Corey Schneider. And Corey Schneider had three AHL seasons, does that sound right? I think it was three full.
Let's take a look.
Yeah, just if you don't mind backtracking me on that. He wasn't a one-and-done guy. Nope. He wasn't one down there for one and then up, you know. Plus, he did that back and forth.
Yeah, Schneider played three full years with Manitoba before becoming the backup to Roberto Luongo.
Before
Vancouver.
He became the backup. Yep. Now, it didn't take too long before that became a mess, and, you know, he could have been the starter. But right now, he's an MVP candidate or a Vezina Trophy candidate in New Jersey. So from the time that he came out of college to now is how many seasons?
He graduated from Boston College in 2007.
Okay.
So we're going on 8 years here.
Yeah, he was good last year. He was good the year before. I'm not saying you have to wait 8 years. But 4 years for a goalie to get his feet under him isn't unrealistic, correct? You can't sit in purgatory. You can't sit doing nothing for 4 years. And to me, Hutchinson, Bishop, whatever you want, I think you have to be looking at that, don't you?
And the question then becomes, and I'll ask it to you.
Please.
How much are you willing to give up, and how much of your future are you willing to part ways with to bring in that guy. Because when you're taking a look at a player like Ben Bishop, who is an established number one goaltender,
right,
who has clearly put in the time, has had the body of work, and has been to Game 6 of a Stanley Cup final,
right,
he's going to cost you more than a player like Hutchinson, who is a little bit younger, but nowhere near as established, and there's a little bit more of a gamble, there's a little bit more risk involved there.
Willing to give up? Well, that's a great question. Which is the greater give here? Is the greater give the contract or the assets that you use to get the player? Because what are you going to have to give that player, right, in terms of term and dollars?
And that's also the thing with Bishop, and that's a great point, because Ben Bishop's a guy that's probably looking for a long-term contract. At the
right.
age of 29, this is his time.
That's
Whereas
exactly.
Hutchinson, again, I think
right.
is a little bit more of a flexible asset, which is why I lean more towards that. I don't think you have to be giving up a top prospect in the organization to be in the conversation to get a Hutchinson. You might have to give up a first-round pick, potentially, but I take a look at what Talbot and Lehner and some of these other goaltenders were acquired for in the summertime, and I think that's probably a decent ballpark for a player like Hutchinson. I use him as an example. I'm sure there are other examples in the league, but that type of player, age range.
But to me, there's two differences there, or there's a difference there between just using Hutchinson and Bishop. I think what we're really talking about is, do you bring in a project or do you bring in an established guy? And if I'm the Calgary Flames, I guess to answer your question, I'd be looking to bring in my first choice would be a guy, an established guy. With the full understanding is, this would be beautiful if I could get him on a cap-friendly contract of 4 years. If I could get a starter, cap-friendly contract, 4 years, I'm in heaven. How often are general managers in heaven?
And that's what worries me about an established guy.
Right.
Because I think if you take – that's why I lean more towards a player with a little bit more unknown, a player that's a little bit more of a project.
Okay.
Because I think you can get them on a more cap-friendly contract.
Sure.
And you can get them at a shorter-term contract,
Let me take you in a different direction, though. Okay, let's take established starter out, okay? Do you want a – I don't know if – how would you describe – what's the difference between Bernier and Hutchinson? Is Bernier a reclamation project? Is Bernier a gamble? Is Michael Hutchinson safer? Is Michael Hutchinson still not proven? How would you describe? Because I think there's another factor in this. Do you look at, a guy who could jumpstart? I mean, my God, Jonathan Bernier was a big deal a couple years ago, right? Like, that was a coup for the Toronto Maple Leafs to get that guy. And a couple years ago, he wasn't that bad. He was a pretty good – he took James Reimer and made him obsolete, right? Ben Scrivens, no, we don't need him because we'll use him to get Jonathan Bernier. Is there any interest in going down that path and trying to, kickstart a career?
I mean, right now it's probably a reclamation project, but I lean more to – I think there's more known about Bernier in the NHL than there is about Hutchinson. I mean, Bernier's got two back-to-back seasons of, being number one workload, a season where he finished with a .922 save percentage, which is pretty darn good, and one where it wasn't as good at .912. Like, this year is an absolute nightmare, and it right now would be a reclamation project. But
yeah.
I would
– yeah.
If our spectrum is Bishop to Hutchinson, Bernier is more towards Bishop than Hutchinson for me. I think there's a little bit more proven with Bernier. His NHL experience is vaster. He's spent more time in the league. He's a little bit older, a couple years older. So he skews more towards the experienced guy as opposed to a player like Hutchinson.
I guess for the end of this, when it all boils down to this, Pat, the only caution that I would have for the Calgary Flames or for anybody is, yes, John Gillies is a really good-looking prospect, but let's not get ahead of ourselves here. You have to get from here.
I agree.
To get from here to there, and I think getting from here to there may allow you the conversation to be a lot broader. It may be bringing in an established guy. It may be, everybody wants the next Devan Dubnyk, and it'd be so easy to say, wow, Jonathan Bernier, he could, but, you talk about Michael Hutchinson. How often have we seen in this league? Look at Braden Holtby. Remember when people thought Braden Holtby was coming here for a draft pick? Oh, they got Michael Neuwirth. It's a cast-off. Braden Holtby, now that Carey Price is he the best North American goalie going right now? Lundqvist is Lundqvist, but he's right up there, right?
He's pretty good goalie. Like Corey Schneider's probably the best North American goaltender. Him or Holtby. I mean,
right, they're right there.
They're in the same conversation as Price right now.
Right?
They really are.
The way they're playing. And, you know, again, there's another guy that it took a little while, and he was always the, well, you should go out and get him guy. Like, there's no shortage of us geniuses who are looking at good young stud goaltenders going, well, you ought to go get him. Washington was patient, and it's paid off. They've got a bona fide number one there. You know, you look at what New Jersey did to get Corey Schneider. Boy, they gave up a first-round pick. You know, Horvat's a heck of a player.
Can you get a John Gibson? Can you get a Jack Campbell who's going to back up Antti Niemi, we're guessing, tomorrow against Dallas? Like, is one of those guys more desirable? For me, the reason why I look at Hutchinson is because he's spent time as a backup now.
Yep.
He's played time in the National Hockey League. He played significant time last year. He's been decent. He's still young. There's still a ceiling there.
And he's got back pressure.
And there's exactly, right?
Right.
Of all the directions to go, that would be the one for me, because could it turn into something good for you? Could it turn into a guy who can be a number one? Yeah, there's that potential. And is it going to handcuff you and hold you down if it doesn't? No. And that's what I think is really important. Knowing the way, like, you're gonna have to pay Ben Bishop $6.5-7 million probably going forward here. Ben Bishop is a legitimate number one goaltender, and I just don't know how the Flames are gonna be able to work that into their salary structure.
No, you consider the we've already at length talked ad nauseum what they're up against. We will probably revisit this conversation. The one thing I will say is be careful of doing, you look at Edmonton. Look at Edmonton's struggles to try and find a number one. And I think you got to be a little bit careful about cutting sometimes those corners. Maybe sometimes you do have to bite the bullet and go big. But, you know, that's how many deals have happened yet so far yet this year, Pat?
Like two.
With NHL players?
It's not a lot. What is it, like one or two that have gone down with NHL players?
No, I don't think there's been any. Poulin's not an NHL player, right?
Fair.
There's waiver claims, but I'm talking about trades.
Yeah, it's been extremely quiet.
Take a break. It's not extremely quiet out there. There's a lot going on, including a wild Twitter feud. Boy, you got to love social media. Later on in this hour, 3:45, Arash Madani will join us. We'll talk some CFL with him. We're live from the Hot Stove Lounge here on your home of the Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's the last day of WestJet's Black Friday sale. If you've been waiting all week to pay full price, the wait's almost over. But if you want great Black Friday savings on flights and vacations, well, book now at WestJet.com or call your travel agent.
In ancient times, the Greeks contemplated life's biggest questions.
What is the meaning of life? What is meaning? What is?
Today, with the Mediterranean collection from Subway restaurants, they contemplate life's biggest sandwiches.
How does one choose between chicken and steak? How good is too good? How much tzatziki is too much tzatziki?
Is this enough tzatziki?
It is.
Sandwiches do come true only at Subway. Try the new Mediterranean collection today for a limited time at participating restaurants. Subway. Eat fresh.
At Okotoks Honda, we do things differently. Just ask Hockey's favorite assistant general manager, Craig Conroy.
People ask me why I shop at Okotoks Honda. My answer is simple. Service, convenience, and people. With my busy schedule, Okotoks Honda picks up my car at the rink, my house, or even when I'm having lunch. They'll do the work and have it back before I can say, you can put it in the win column.
Okotoks Honda, it's worth a trip. Open till late, Monday to Thursday. 10 minutes south of Calgary or online at OkotoksHonda.com.
Burglars enjoy holiday parties as much as you do. While you're out, they're breaking in. Why worry? Get ADT Pulse Video installed free, including a wireless security camera. View your home through real-time video and enjoy 24/7 monitoring for just $57.99 a month. Get ADT Pulse Video installed free. Call 800-599-9ADT or visit ADT.ca. ADT, always there. 36-month monitoring contract required. Termination fee applies. See terms and pricing at ADT.ca.
Let's kick off your holiday shopping with savings at the Home Depot's Black Friday event. Like special buys on a 7.5-foot Feel Real Christmas tree for only $149. Or a Werner 6-foot fiberglass ladder at only $49.88. And a Ryobi drill and driver kit for only $99. Let's do this at the Black Friday event. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offer ends December 2nd while quantities last. See store or shop now at homedepot.ca.
The Canon Rebel T5i is simple and intuitive, with amazing features to renew your artistic side. Get your Canon Rebel T5i today at Memory Express during the Canon Best in Glass event for just $649.99. Amazing features include 18 megapixels, vari-angle touchscreen, incredible low-light performance, and more. The Canon Rebel T5i is on sale now during the Canon Best in Glass event at Memory Express. Three Calgary locations or memoryexpress.com.
Memory Express.
At Rogers, we want to help you simplify. That's why we've redesigned My Rogers. Think of it as digital customer service, available at your fingertips. Need tips on boosting your phone's battery life? Device Aid can provide tips and advice specifically for you. Have a question about your plan? Chat directly with the Rogers Live agent using the live chat feature. Or post your question in our community forums. Answers at your fingertips. It's the new way from Rogers. Learn more at rogers.com/new way.
The Calgary Sport and Social Club presents Get Back in the Game.
I'm 25, a lover of life, and I just want to have fun. While I was successful at dodging the ball on the court, I couldn't dodge the Cupid's arrow she threw my way.
Find the sport you love with the Calgary Sport and Social Club. Winter League registration is now open. Choose from over 15 different sports, including floor hockey, dodgeball, and soccer. Hurry, because registration closes December 16th. Register now at calgarysportsclub.com.
From store to store, you've been searching for the perfect gift this holiday season. And now you've found it. That perfect thing to make someone's holidays unforgettable. It's much more than just a gift. It's something that will change a life.
You're all done. Thanks for donating blood today.
Because when you donate blood, you give life. Give a gift that can't be bought and get a red bandage. Book today at blood.ca. Canadian Blood Services. It's in you to give.
Give life this holiday season by becoming a blood donor. New donors needed. Book now at blood.ca.
It's the last day of WestJet's Black Friday sale. If you've been waiting all week to pay full price, the wait's almost over. But if you want great Black Friday savings on flights and vacations, well, book now at WestJet.com or call your travel agent.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is proud to support the Mount Royal Cougars. Tradition, leadership, and commitment. Listen for On the Prowl Radio, the latest for MRU athletics from the broadcasting students at Mount Royal. It airs at 5:40 p.m. on Saturdays right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Basketball, hockey, volleyball, soccer. If MRU plays it, you will hear it on the Prowl. The Mount Royal Cougars are right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Trending right now in Calgary.
Flames kick off a five-game homestand. They welcome the Western Conference leading Dallas Stars at 7 o'clock. Kari Rama will make the start in net, his 13th start in 14 games. Montreal Canadiens goaltender Carey Price will be out at least 6 weeks with a lower body injury. The Habs confirmed today. Monday Night Football wraps up week 12 of the NFL season. 3-7 Baltimore takes on 2-8 Cleveland. 6:30 kickoff. We'll have it for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary's home for the Flames and the NHL. Calgary, the boys on the big show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
When it did happen, you always wonder, you know, did he come back too quick? But based on our doctors, based on Carey, based on everything we had, he played two games. He was fine. Practice, he was fine. He just, it was not the reason that he got injured that he came back too quick.
Mark Bergevin, general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. Carey Price sidelined for 6 weeks with a lower body injury. You had Renaud Lavoie on again from TVA. This is a very big story to me because it's your reigning Vezina and MVP candidate. I'm not sure that it would behoove the Canadians to come out and go, yeah, he came back too early. I think, you know, probably better going the safe route and saying, no, this isn't connected. But I, again, are, you know, you interviewed Renaud and he's very close to it. Are they trying to get away from surgery? Are they putting off surgery? Is he going to be healthy when he comes back? I mean, this is a guy that, you know, let's be perfectly honest, not just the Montreal Canadiens, the league's better when Carey Price is in it.
The way Renaud described it was that this is good news in that it doesn't require surgery.
Okay.
So they went, they did tests, they looked at it, said, okay, is this going to need surgery or can this heal on its own? And the numerous medical opinions they got said, yes, this can heal on its own. So that would be the good news. So now the verdict is give him as much time as he can possibly have. You know, you've got Mike Condon, and they called up Zach Fucale today. So they've got Mike Condon. The team has won games with him in net. He's not Carey Price, and they're not going to ask him to be Carey Price, but they've already shown they can win with him. And if they have to take a little bit of a step back in the standings, and you know what, maybe they are surpassed for a little while by Ottawa in the division or whatever, so be it. You've got to put yourself in the best spot come April, May, and June.
Right.
And by resting Carey Price for 6 weeks, maybe you got to do it for 2.5 months. Maybe he's not back until February. I don't know. But you have to do the right thing for this player. And they said he does not need surgery. So you be overcautious now with how much you rest him so that he comes back at 100%. So that's kind of the interpretation everybody's getting is that, okay, this means he doesn't need surgery. And now it's all about just doing the best thing for his recovery, which I think is the only way you can go about things.
He is not the only injured Canadiens player that is making news these days. That was the revelation that Carey Price was out for 6 weeks today. That's the news. But I do want to just talk briefly about Brendan Gallagher, who's sidelined, young pest, I guess. I don't know. You know, he's a hard player to play against. You love to have him, hate to play against him, that sort of thing. But he's very active on social media, and he's been very active in the last 24 hours with former NHLer, and a guy I think people here in Calgary are very familiar with, Jim Kite. Former NHL tough guy. I believe he was a defenseman for the most part. But he and Brendan Gallagher went at it in twin. You know, you have social media, fights all the time, I suppose. But this one was a little bit bizarre. How quickly it got heated and how quickly it could have been diffused. I was asking you if you're Brendan Gallagher, do you really need to go back and forth with Jim Kite, or can you just let this one fly? Just to set the stage, originally what got it going, Jim Kite tweeted, Brendan Gallagher, Brad Marchand, and players of their ilk are the reason I don't watch many NHL games anymore. No honor, no accountability. Gallagher responded by tweeting him back, please, Mr. Kite, do tell us more about all the honor you played the game with, and then sent him a YouTube video of Jim Kite sucker-punching Mario Lemieux, and it was off. Then it was off in both sides. I asked you in the break, and you started going down this path, and I said, no, let's talk about this on the air. I asked you in the break, if you're Brendan Gallagher, why? Why even bother?
Because it's an NHLer or a former NHLer, and because it's part of the brotherhood or, part of the fraternity or whatever, I think that it makes it a little bit more relevant for him to defend himself and fire back and stick up for himself. There's nothing that I hate more than broadcasters publicly criticizing other broadcasters. It's like, on Twitter saying, oh, this guy's the worst. I've got my own opinions on different broadcasters. I think that some guys are great and some guys aren't, but we're all part of the same thing, and it's always bugged me a little bit when you see that on Twitter. It's a,
right. So
here's Jim Kite taking a completely unprovoked shot at a current NHLer who happens to be injured at the time. It seems very strange that he would even be tagged in this whole thing, but he tagged looked at a guy like Gallagher. It was brought to his attention, and I have no problem with him firing back. I think that this I come away from that whole Twitter exchange looking at Gallagher more favorably than Kite. And by the way, I don't look at Gallagher as that type of player. I look at Gallagher as a guy I want on my team every single time I want Gallagher on my team.
Okay. There's two ways you can go about it. You can dissect the fight or the spat between the two, and I do find it a little bit disingenuous that Jim Kite was putting up his era and versus this era and saying that, players are worse now. There was guys like Kenny Linsman, Esa Tikkanen, there was lots of guys that were super pests, uber pests.
Oh, yeah.
That did that. That's always been part of hockey. There's always been S-disturbers, as Jay Feaster used to call them. As a matter of fact, this franchise has struggled in finding them, quite honestly. You could use them every once in a while. I go back to the conversation that we had with I wish I remember her name, but the lady from the Public Relations group that the Flames brought in to talk to the rookies and talk to the prospects about social media. And some of the conversations that we were having with her about, you know, what do you engage, where do you engage? I wonder, and maybe it's more of a personal opinion because I won't play that game. I just don't see a benefit in playing that game. If you're Brendan Gallagher, I would have just stepped out of it. And what, Pat, I should point out, too, is there was that exchange and then another exchange yesterday. So that takes place Saturday and then again yesterday. And Gallagher just tweeted out, my favorite teammates because they fought for their teammates, never for themselves. Everything they did was to help us win hockey games. One last point about yesterday. I respect the hell out of players who fight out for teammates like Brandon Prust and George Parros were two. It was never about their egos. I'm reading this backwards. It was never about their egos. It was about winning the games and doing that. They earned a tremendous amount of respect around the league. One last point about yesterday. I respect the hell out of players who fight for their teammates. Brandon Prust and George Parros were two of my favorite teammates because they fought for their teammates, never for themselves. Everything they did was to help us win hockey games. I don't disagree with anything that Brendan Gallagher said. I respect the fact that Jim Kite has an opinion. I just didn't see the value in engaging.
I feel like that, and this is, I feel like it kind of protected his brand. Like, I feel like it kind of protect, you, cause I think that he knows very, very well that this is going to be picked up by people. I don't think as he was hitting tweet on the first response.
Did nobody's going to pay attention?
Oh, this will fly by the radar. Yeah. Fly under the radar. No, he knew that people were going to pick up on this. And I think this was him protecting his brand as a hockey player. Because, look, Gallagher is that guy. Gallagher is despised by other teams when he plays against them because he plays that way. But I also think he's the type of guy that probably has a lot of pride in his game. Look, he's at 19 points in 22 games before going down. He's an integral core member of that Montreal Canadiens team. So I think there's more than anything else, and this is why I don't have a problem with it, and I think it came off well. Doesn't swear at him. He takes the same shots that Kite's taking. Doesn't go overboard. It doesn't get overly personal. There's no, you know, personal attacks on him as a what he looks like or anything. Like it's kept within the framework, and he was able to dish and take at the same time. I really think that Gallagher comes off looking pretty good here, and comes away protecting his brand on social media too. I totally get why. If a broadcaster had called me out, I'd probably go back at him and be like, not necessarily attacking his credentials, but being, hey, could we not doing this, you know, in public?
I've had a little bit of traffic here, and now I'm and thanks to, and they know who they are, for forwarding me lots of videos in which Jim Kite doesn't do well in fights. Okay, like I get that part and I understand that. I don't know. I hear you, dude, and that's why I asked you the question, because I don't think I'm the be-all, end-all when it comes to this, and I tend to just, you know, I'm not going to get engaged. And I, you know, when we had that lady in earlier talking about what she was teaching the Flames, I think these were the types of things they were trying to avoid, right? I think these were the types of, you know, situations you want to avoid. I get what you're saying about brand and standing up for yourself. Look,
I'd be curious what she thinks about it. I really would be, because I wonder, because
I'd be curious. Well, one thing we can ask is I'd be kind of curious what the Canadians think about it. I mean, what do the Montreal Canadians think about that? Are they okay with that? Did they go in? Did they say, you know, maybe let's not do that? Jim Kite's got nothing to lose here, right? When's the last time we talked about Jim Kite?
Never.
Right. Jim Kite's probably, knowing the way this works, has probably gained a couple thousand followers or whatever. And certainly the people that were already preordained not to like Brendan Gallagher were probably pretty excited to hear this. I was a little surprised, just again myself, Pat, just a little surprised that Brendan Gallagher went on like he did and then went back and revisited it yet again.
I got it. And I mean, and maybe this is just you, because, you know, just the way that you and I look at things differently.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
I got it. I totally understood and I thought that he did it in a professional, classy way still. Like, okay, this guy's going to
fire in a video of
this guy came out of nowhere. A former NHLer came out of nowhere and said that I am a gutless hockey player, and this is what's wrong with the NHL. And coming from a hypocritical stance in Gallagher's eyes, and I think he laid it out pretty well, and says, okay, well, if I'm bad for the NHL, then you know, what is this? Like, I think that he protected his integrity, stood up for himself without going after, you know, things that weren't already brought in. It's like Law and Order and cross examination, when it's like, well, you opened the door to that topic, yeah. so we're gonna let the defense attorney or the prosecuting attorney go down that road.
And
that's what Gallagher did. He didn't go out of his way to. Again, it wasn't offside. It was all within the realm of what I thought was acceptable.
I just want to add this too, because I guess I've been looking at this mostly from Brendan's standpoint. For what it's worth, I don't get it from Kite's side either. Like, okay, so you got him going. Now what are you doing? Now you're dragging him in. Now you're going to go. I don't think you look any better either, pal. Like, we have a former player on this radio station. He has said critical things. But I don't ever – this one just seemed like, even from Kite, it was like, once he got him, you kind of reeling him in. Now I got you. Let's go sort of thing. You know,
Did you see Marchand's response?
No.
It got deleted.
Oh.
But he said nobody turned on their television to see Jim Kite play.
Not wrong. Not wrong.
And if it was a different situation, then I think Gallagher comes off looking different. But the fact that Gallagher was completely just going about his business, nursing his broken fingers, probably, you know, having some cereal or watching some television or whatever. I don't know why he necessarily be eating cereal, but just going about his business, and all of a sudden this guy comes, former NHLer comes out of nowhere and attacks him unprovoked. That's why I don't think it makes Gallagher look as bad, because he was responding to something that was out of nowhere.
Maybe the question's wrong. I just, you know, and you said it, maybe it's just who we and what we are, the way we look at life, because I'm not engaging. I just don't see the value from Gallagher's standpoint. I just don't see it. And I you know, your point is well taken, that you protect your brand and everything like that, but nobody would have anybody have seen this if he didn't respond to it? Imagine the thousands and thousands and thousands of shots we get across our bow on a daily basis.
Yeah.
What, are we going to pick fights with everybody? It is what it is.
The only reason it's different is because it's a former
NHL. Yeah, I get it.
Regular dude on the street saying, yeah. Gallagher's a whatever. I won't say the words. But if you say those things, then next thing, Gallagher probably ignores that.
This was a huge deal last year, so we've gone back to the well. Why wouldn't we? Sportsnet 960 and Anthony Jewelers have hooked up. We've got a $960 shopping spree complete with the added services of Billie Jo Ross from Kiss 95.9. She's on the morning show. She's going to come as your exclusive personal shopper. So the options are endless, from a halo diamond earrings to color gemstone family rings to trendy gold bracelets. Browse the selection at Marlboro Mall or visit them online at anthonyjewelers.com. All you have to do is enter by going to sportsnet.ca/960. Anthony Jewelers, once again, hooking up, and I think it's a pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Pretty cool promotion.
Mornings with Billie Joe, that's what it's called. Billie Joe in the morning.
I don't know. Don't. I'm not. I just said I'm not going to get involved with this. I just said I wouldn't do that. Don't try and trick me, Steinberg. I see what you're doing. I see the antics you're up to.
With Billie Joe and only Billie Joe.
You're a troublemaker.
Or Kiss 95.9.
Arash Manani around the corner, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hi, this is Dave Rutherford with Cece Jenkinson of Willowbrook Homes. Cece, a lot of people may not be ready right now to build a brand new custom home by Willowbrook Homes. Maybe they want to renovate their existing home. Willowbrook can help with renovations too, can't you?
Exactly. We go right through their whole plan that they want to do. We do a scope of work. We do plans. We get an interior designer involved and price everything out exactly the way they want it done.
It sounds exactly like building a custom home, but you're applying those same principles to renovations.
Exactly, and we're using the same professionals that we use in our custom homes.
If people are a little bit worried about a renovation, there's a renovation warranty program in Alberta.
Correct. There's the Alberta warranty program that covers deposit insurance, 2 years of warranty, and it's a great program.
So if you want to build a custom home, Willowbrook Homes is the place to go. Great renovations as well. Check out more at willowbrookhomes.ca.
There's an old saying, good things come in small packages.
Well, after having a peek at Rogers Black Friday wrapped in red event, you'll agree that great things come in red packages. Give the gifts your family really wants, like the Nexus 6P, Samsung Galaxy S5 Neo, and Sony Xperia M4 Aqua from $0. On select Share Everything plans, the gifting season is here, and it's wrapped in red. Visit your local Rogers store or Rogers.com for details. Offer ends November 30th.
And Roger here from JB's Power Center. Hey, Roger, what do you have to say to all the people scraping ice off their windows this morning?
It's time to stop scraping your windows and freezing your fingers. JB's keeps you warm all winter long with remote starters from only $79. Find out why thousands of Albertans have trusted JB's Power Center to install their remote starter since the 80s. Beat winter this year with a remote car starter from JB's Power Center.
With professional installation and the best prices anywhere, it just doesn't get any better than JB's Power Center, McKnight and Barlow.
When I want to remember something, I tie a string on my finger.
Now imagine that string is made of diamonds.
A diamond string reminder ring?
Look at what our designers did for Christmas.
It's unbelievable.
It's a diamond reminder ring.
When I look at it, what's it supposed to remind me of?
That's up to the person who gives it to you.
This is the coolest ring I've ever seen in my life.
There are only going to be 200 of these made ever in the whole world. $699.
Can I keep this one?
Spence. Woo! The corner of Glenmore and McLeod Trail South.
As the days cool off and we all head inside, it's important to remember you need hearing protection indoors too. Whether you're running at the gym, swimming at an indoor pool, or you just have to live with a loud sleeper. Soundwave Hearing Care has a custom hearing mold to keep you protected. Soundwave Hearing Care, hearing services for your entire family, children, adults, and seniors. Embrace life and hear your world. Visit soundwavehearing.com.
By now, you've probably heard all about how amazing FX's original series, Fargo, was. Winner of 2 Golden Globes and 3 Emmys. But did you know it's back with a new season?
Okay, then.
Okay, then.
Okay, then.
And with an even bigger cast. You betcha.
Your son's wanted in connection with 3 murders.
And?
She's tough, but, you know, a girl.
I'm not afraid of a war. No mercy.
Fargo, tonight at 8 on FX.
Gaucho Brazilian barbecue is like nothing you've experienced before. Bold, exotic flavors, succulent skewers of tender meats, cooked with the time-honored tradition and pride of the legendary Gaucho. Open for lunch and dinner, enjoy all you care to eat with marinades of meat sliced directly on your plate plus salad bar.
Come and dine with us and taste the authentic experience of Gaúcho Brazilian barbecue on McLeod Trail across from Chinook Mall.
The Calgary Sport and Social Club presents Get Back in the Game.
I'm 24 and love meeting new people. I just joined up to play floor hockey, and while I'm yet to get a penalty, I'm throwing him in the sin bin for stealing my heart.
Find the sport you love with the Calgary Sport and Social Club. Winter League registration is now open. Choose from over 15 different sports, including floor hockey, dodgeball, and soccer. Hurry, because registration closes December 16th. Register now at calgarysportsclub.com.
If you want a closer look at your favorite athletes, the before, the after, and the behind the scenes, Vice Sports tells the stories around the game. Vice Sports is the place where athletes and fans alike come together to tell stories that transcend the arena.
We're definitely the baddest girls in the game.
With original documentaries on everything from sumo wrestling to dog sledding to hockey. Vice Sports is the best new destination for premium sports video.
Who would have thought that we'd have to go to China to skateboard?
For the latest Canadian and global sports stories, visit vicesports.com.
Calling all men who give a damn. If you knew that your small personal donation could be multiplied by 100 to make a large positive impact in your community, would you help? Join Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Pledge your support to an amazing initiative that does just that. 100 Men Who Give a Damn brings together 100 or more guys like you who care about local community causes and want to help. The next meeting is Tuesday, December 8th. For all the details and to sign up, visit 100mencalgary.com. Local men, local impact. Proudly supported by Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Flames are back home after their trip to Arizona and California. It's the Dallas Stars at the Dome on Tuesday night. Rogers Calgary Flames hockey hits the air and goes online at 6 p.m. Flames warm-up live from the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. Pat hosts with Peter and Derek. Play-by-play of the Flames and Stars goes at 7 p.m. Right after the game, it's post-game hockey talk and the overtime call-in show. Flames and Stars right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Rogers Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you in part by Glenmore Audi and Green Drop.
Hey, it's Pinder. Here's your Sportsnet 960 The Fan Entertainment Guide. The Brian Setzer Orchestra comes to Calgary on December 29th. The Grey Eagle Casino, three-time Grammy Award winner, will be performing his Christmas Rocks Extravaganza Tour. Head to greyeagleresortandcasino.com for more information. 100 Men That Give a Damn, their quarterly meeting coming up December the 8th. 100 Men, $100 each. That means $10,000 for a local charity. For more information, head to 100menCalgary.com. The Calgary Inferno Women's Hockey Club have their Keep the Beat Heart and Stroke fundraiser Saturday, December 5th. For more information, head to calgaryinferno.ca. And the Calgary Hitmen have a two-game weekend. Saturday, they host Everett at 7. Saskatoon comes to town Sunday at 4. For details on all events, breaking sports updates, and more, head to sportsnet.ca/960.
From the Scotiabank Saddle Dome to Rogers Arena to Madison Square Garden and everywhere in between, we are on the NHL Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Talking football in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
26-20 the final. The Edmonton Eskimos over the Ottawa Red Blacks in Grey Cup 103. Arash Madani from Sportsnet was there to chronicle it all, and he joins us this afternoon. Good to talk to you, Arash. Just to set up this conversation, we were talking about it earlier. I mean, loved the start. I thought the start was exciting, but the game kind of ground down and it came down to a late play. In terms of history, do we remember this game? Is this historical for any stretch of the match? Will it live on at all?
No, I don't think it will, Rob. I think it's, you know, one of those nondescript games that's just kind of check mark and on we go. And, you know, in Edmonton it will. But it absolutely was just as you described it. You know, Ottawa jumped out to the 13-0 lead before Mike Riley even got into the huddle. And, you know, they had the consecutive scoring drives that got Edmonton back in the game. But that second half was just, you know, a buddy of mine has an expression, death by paper cut. I mean, that's what it was. Henry Burris was reluctant to force anything. Ottawa didn't really take any risks. Third and one in midfield, you punt. And then, you know, ultimately Edmonton saw Ottawa on man-to-man late in the fourth quarter with Brandon Sermons, a rookie, on the weak side corner, and they said, let's go to work. They got a PI on a built-in A first, and then, you know, ultimately the challenged PI call that got them there. So nothing memorable, nothing that stands out, but to Mike Riley and the Eskimos, it, you know, I'm sure there are some shining moments from it.
Just as an observer and a guy who's been around sport for a while and you watch all the different leagues, do you have an issue or a problem, or should we be concerned that, you know, an important game like this, maybe one of the big turning points or one of the big plays in it, and I'm not saying it was wrong, but one of the big plays is a PI challenge?
No, I mean, it should have been called on the field by letter of the law, and it wasn't, and they got it right, you know, and that's what replay is all about. You want it right. It was pass interference. You know, Darius Bowman's heck of a player when he wants to be. And he showed that last night. He got my vote, actually, Rob, for MVP of the Grey Cup. Obviously, Mike Riley won it. But, no, I mean, it was the right call. And outside of a really bad missed holding call when Sir Vincent Rogers basically grabbed Odell Willis by the neck and body slammed him to the ground and there was no holding call there, I thought it was a pretty cleanly officiated game.
Arash Madani from Sportsnet, our guest here on The Big Show. Pat?
The fact that, you're right, I mean, we weren't talking about the most exciting third quarter and most of the fourth quarter. I mean, there's Henry Burris went 1-for-2 with 2 yards in the third quarter. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That was not the most exciting thing ever. But I thought it was really fitting that the Edmonton Eskimos went into suffocate mode, and I guess that's how they got to the dance. And as important as Riley and Darrell Walker and Darius Bowman and all that are, they got to the dance by having the league's best defense, and they were able to win the most important game of the season after 2 touchdowns to start it off by being suffocating defensively again. To me, I thought that was really fitting.
Suffocating, Pat, with a 3-man rush getting it done. You know, with a front of 3 guys getting to Burris, which allowed Edmonton on the back end to play a little more zone. And, you know, if you really want to get inside baseball here, Dexter McCoyle, who was a strong safety in college, used as their weak side linebacker, he was flying all over the place. And it just allowed, when you get pressure with 3 and you're the Eskimos secondary, there's no chance you're going to do anything. So underneath it went, and chase and tackle is what the Eskimos did. you know, Ottawa did such a great job in the first half of generating yards on first down to set up second and medium and second and manageable. But when you're going to, you know, consistently be in second and long situations against that Eskimos defense, you're just not going to win. And I was sitting next to Travis Lule in the press box. I looked at him. I said, at some point, Ottawa's got to try something, right? I mean, they want to get a deep ball, right? Just go down the seams, right? Well, the pressure was there. I mean, you know, the defense was in Henry's face. And in such a tight game where points are at a premium, you want to force things. And in the back of Burris's mind after the first quarter interception, did he think, well, let's just be cautious here. We have the lead, you know, let's not give it away to them. But foremost was the Eskimos' ability in the second and third quarters especially to get pressure with three. And when you do that, that absolutely, Pat, as you said, suffocates an offense.
I know that Mike Riley engineered that game-winning drive, and I know that he ended up throwing the game-winning touchdown and all of that. The fact that he ends up being tied for the game as leading rusher, too, it was once again a really good kind of underlining of just how much that one particular player can affect a football game and just the different ways that he can extend plays.
So in January of 2013, the Eskimos trade for Mike Riley, you know, from the BC Lions, just before free agency, and 16 days later they sign Odell Willis in free agency. So on the day they sign Willis in free agency in Winnipeg, ironically enough, where Riley wins his first Grey Cup, then Blue Bombers GM Joe Mack was asked, why wouldn't the Bombers have interest in Mike Riley as quarterback? And he said, in his infinite wisdom, that Riley is not mobile enough. Excuse me? Mobile enough? I mean, if there's anything, what we saw from Riley in the fourth quarter last night was that he missed some shots. He had Corey Watson in the flat, threw it behind him over the wrong shoulder. But mobility and toughness is nothing. You know, there's no question about that with Mike Riley. I mean, he's this dude's legit. And he can be such a weapon for you running the football. Now, on the flip side, I thought the Red Blacks really made the mistake by abandoning the run. William Powell, guys, was doing some good things on first and second down. The offensive line was getting into a little bit of a rhythm. And it really seemed that Ottawa got away from a couple of things that was working for them. Now, they didn't get a chance to get into a rhythm because it was two and out on the regular once the second half rolled around, which they didn't really do for much of the first half. But, you know, if that offensive line kind of gets going a little bit, that can change your offense around. The Red Blacks have changed formations a ton in the first quarter. But, that just didn't happen as the game went on. But, yeah, there's no doubt that. I mean, you know, Mike Riley's the complete package. He's one of the elite guys in the league. I still take Bo Levi over him, you know, especially with the age factor and all. But Riley's legit.
Final question for me. Last year we saw the Calgary Stampeders go wire to wire as the best team in the CFL and win a close one but win the Grey Cup. And this year that team was kind of Edmonton. I mean, I know that the start wasn't as good as the finish, but I think everybody kind of pointed to them saying, this is probably the best team. But it's not always an automatic. I mean, we've seen 8-10 and 9-9 teams win Grey Cups. I mean, it is not easy to be the best team in the CFL and win a Grey Cup. It doesn't always happen that way.
Well, I'd agree with you in the past, but lately, if you look at it, you know, the Eskimos were this year. They survived without Riley when he went down with the torn PCL. You look at last year, the Stampeders. The year before that, Saskatchewan had built for the 101st Grey Cup. I think they started 8-0 that season. You know, Toronto in 2012, maybe BC was a little bit better, but, you know, the Argos were right there, especially with their defense. In 2011, there was no doubt that the BC Lions were going to win. You know, the league likes to trumpet parity, but we really haven't seen much lately. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the best team in football winning the championship. The better team won yesterday. The best team in the league won yesterday. And there's something to be said for that. There's something to be said for the reward at the end of it all. You know, we all like to see dramatic finishes and great games and upsets, but, you know, you're right, Pat. From day one, they were the best football team. They lost their starting quarterback for half the season. They came out unscathed. They railroaded through the Stamps in the West Final, and then, you know, they march on due to a parade in Edmonton now.
Arash Madani from Sportsnet, our guest. Just a couple final ones for me, Arash. You know, now that the 2015 season has been put to bed, tell me about the offseason. What do you anticipate? What are some of the storylines that we should watch? Do we expect a busy CFL offseason?
Well, I think the two guys who were happiest with yesterday went were the most outstanding Canadian, Shamar Chambers. He's a free agent at the end of the year, Rob. How about putting that on your resume right before you potentially hit the open market? Adarius Bowman the same. Adarius Bowman was a game changer last night. He gets lost in all of this, but to me, he was the most valuable player on the football field for the Edmonton Eskimos, regardless of the